We're just a little bit late because of technical difficulties. Thank you for bearing with us, but I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Blair Airport Authority. We're here tonight to discuss upcoming issues with land acquisition on the airport. So that is what this meeting is about. It's not a regular meeting for us. If you have an agenda question tonight and you wish to comment on the agenda or make a comment when you come forward, please come to the podium. Raise your hand, allow me to recognize you, step up to the podium, clearly state your name and address so we can get it recorded by the recording secretary. Direct your comments to the members of the authority. Please do not speak directly with the other members of the audience. Limit your comments to 3 minutes, and we'll probably be a little lenient on that, but not excessively lenient. But we want everybody to have a chance to express their opinions to this body. City of Blair officials that typically attend these meetings include myself, Dave Johnson. I am the chairman. Marty Rump is the secretary. Dan Hunt, Wes isn't going to be here tonight, if I remember right, correct?
Exactly.
Yes, and Dr. Faye Jones. Phil Green is the Blair City Administrator and Blair Airport Manager. Aaron Barrow is the Assistant Blair City Administrator. We thank you for your interest in the Blair Airport. We appreciate your interest and participation. You should be able to find a copy of the approval, or the agenda is on the screen, but you should have a printed copy at the door up here. Also want to draw your attention to the open meeting acts posted at this door and that door, and we stick very closely to those. With that being said, I would entertain a roll call, please.
Dr. Faye Jones.
Here.
Marty Rump is me here. Dr. Steve Johnson.
He is here too.
Dan Hunt.
Present.
And Wes Bedke is absent.
Okay. You have the minutes presented to you already from last week's meeting. Do I have a motion for approval or any corrections or additions?
I've reviewed, make a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion by Rump to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Jones. Please indicate your votes.
There we go.
There we go. Motion carries. So let's slip on down to consider an agreement with Young and White Law Office to represent the Airport Authority in a condemnation proceeding for the Blair Executive Airport Runway Extension Program.
Phil? I'm just going to turn it over to our two star witnesses tonight to kind of talk about a little bit of the past history, about what we've done so far, and what kind of got us to today.
Very good. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, Phil.
Yep.
This is the agreement with Young and White.
Oh, never mind. That's right. We reversed the order.
Yep.
we were talking about that earlier. So, yeah, my apologies. So this is a resolution that's before you. We're basically in agreement with Young and White to have them represent us legally. Obviously, it makes more sense to approve that before we have them get up and talk about the things he's going to be talking about. So it's pretty standard, and again, we normally do this, especially when we get into situations where we have a real need for some specific legal experience and knowledge, and Jeff definitely has that for us.
Okay.
Any questions?
So you have a copy of the fee agreement with you, and...
Make a motion for approval.
I have a motion, Hunt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Jones. Please indicate your votes. Motion carries. Thank you, folks. I am going to get nitpicky on item number 5. Just for clarification, I want to see an edit on there. FAA refers to the runway as 1331. That would be correct. Or runway 31 is being extended. Runway 13 is not. So we could have 13/31 or 31. Either one of those would be correct. But so with that in mind, public hearing for the acquisition of private property for public purposes associated with Blair's Airport Authority's Runway 1331 Extension Improvement Project and involving lots 15 through 26 and 29 through 32 of the Midway Estate subdivision, location in S24, T17 North, R11 East of the 6th PM, Washington County, Nebraska.
Good evening, I'm Jeff Miller with Young & White Law Office, 8742 Frederick Street. I'm here tonight to help us get through a public hearing that's required by the laws of Nebraska regarding eminent domain. In this case, we have to have a public hearing that applies to this agency and this land acquisition, which is the property that the chairman recited. We're going to first have Heather Olson, the project engineer, come up and explain the project, the reasons for the project, location, all of which you may be very well aware of, but that's required by state law that we go through that in a public hearing. And then after Heather is done, I'll come back up and explain a very little bit about the eminent domain proceedings and the rights of these all property owners. And then we need to open it up for public comments, and then we'll take care of that step, and then we'll proceed with the other steps. With regard to eminent domain, the landowner has a retained attorney, which I think is a good thing, so we can reasonably communicate about what the city's needs are and what the landowner's concerns are with regard to his property and what's being left as remainder property and evaluation of what's being taken. So I'd ask the project engineer, Heather Olson, to come up at this time and discuss with you various aspects of the project.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Chairman Johnson and board members. Good evening, Heather Olson with Olson. I've been working alongside all of you and coordinating with the FAA and NDOT on going through the process for the last 3.5 years, navigating the justification for the runway extension and how it also impacts the associated county roads adjacent to the extension area, and then also the land acquisition needs. So tonight I'm going to be presenting, kind of going through the purpose and need, how we came to this point to need the runway extension. Then I'm going to talk about the runway extension alternatives that were all reviewed through the FAA process, and then we'll talk about the county road relocation process, how we came about to what decision was made for how that alignment would change, and then finally discussing the land acquisition needs. So I'll start with the purpose and need statement. To safely to accommodate the existing and then the forecasted aircraft to utilize your airport and per FAA standards. So in 2021, you'll be familiar, we all started noticing that you had increased activity and increased fuel activity or fuel sales, and that prompted the airport to reach out to FAA and indicate, hey, we're seeing a really strong increase in the utilization of our airport. We feel that the forecast needs to be updated. So FAA granted that. So we started compiling all the data for all the aircraft that was utilizing your airport. And they do a 10-year time period to evaluate that aircraft usage at your airport. So the study was started in 2021, so they forecasted it out to 2031, so that 10-year time period. So we analyzed and reviewed all the base aircraft and the itinerant aircraft that were utilizing your runway. And the FAA requires you, as you analyze that data, to determine what is the critical aircraft that's utilizing your airport. And they base the critical aircraft on a minimum of 500 operations. And it can be a single aircraft or it can be a group or a certain type of aircraft. And in your case, all the data collected determined that the B2 large aircraft was the major user of your airport. It had 500 operations and above. So that's typically a 4 to 9 passenger corporate jet. So what's important about the critical aircraft is your entire airport is designed based on that critical aircraft. So whatever is identified, that's how the runway safety areas and the runway protection zone and all of those are determined. It's based on that aircraft. So with the B2 aircraft identified, we had to analyze the takeoff and landing requirements for those aircraft. in all weather conditions. So that's what prompted the increase to the need of a 5,500 foot runway length. Currently you have a 4,200 foot runway length. Therefore the 1,300 foot, that's where that number came from and what that extension needed was there for the airport. So with the purpose and need identified, FAA, NDOT, and the city and the airport came together and identified six alternatives for how can we accommodate this 1,300 feet. And we had to do that through the environmental process. We'll go through. Alternative number one was just maintain your existing runway. As I just said, though, it's only 4,200 feet. So FAA looks at this option and you have to analyze it, but it doesn't meet the purpose and needs. So we're able to move on from that alternate pretty quickly. The second alternate, we started on the south end, started looking at if we add the 1,300 foot, the paved section here, but then you also have to take into account the 1,700 foot runway protection zone at the end of the runway, in addition to just that 1,300 foot extension. And when you start taking that into account, the south end became very difficult to complete because you have significant topography change on this end. And then you also, one of the safety guidelines on FAA is you cannot have any buildings or roadways within your runway protection zone. So on this end, Highway 133 in this case runs right through your runway protection zone. So Highway 133 would have to be relocated, County Road P38A would have to be relocated. So there's some significant social, environmental, and financial challenges with this alternate. So this alternate was not selected. So then we looked at alternate number three. Alternate number three was chosen because it was trying to identify a path or a location that we wouldn't impact Highway 133, but that would require the realignment of runway 1331, which is a significant undertaking. There's a significant grading, environmental challenges. Again, you still have to relocate P38A. I forgot to say on the previous slide, there were businesses and homes that would also have to be relocated. So again, this is not a viable option in the FAA's eyes because of the significant social, environmental, and financial challenges. Alternate number four, we moved to the north end of the runway and extended that 1,300 feet. And again, we have the 1,700 feet for the runway protection zone shown here. But in this alternate, we had just full closures of runway for County Roads 35 and 38. Right away, the city and the airport did not like that option because then that really causes some impacts to these neighboring properties trying to access Highway 133. And during this part, I'm just going to touch on it a little bit with the county. We did meet with the county, and they were also not in favor of full closure of those roads. And I'll go into more detail on those alternates that we discussed. But based on that, this requirement, the purpose and need is not met. So this alternate is not chosen. So then we moved on to alternate number five, which is again the extension to the north. But then when you take a look at your runway protection zone here, the 1,700 foot area, we were going to put the roadway through the runway protection zone, which violates one of the FAA safety standards. So this alternate also went away quickly. Which leads us to alternate number six. This alternate was proposed having the 1,300 foot extension on the north end, and then the county road would be relocated outside of the runway protection zone. This option was looked at with favor because the majority of the obstruction removal is already located on airport-owned property. Yes, the county road has to be relocated outside of airport-owned property, but the grading that we saw on the south end, we're not seeing that on the north end. So this was a much more favorable as far as environmental, social, and financial. So this is the option that the FAA chose to move forward with. And with the environmental assessment, then they executed the FARMZ on September of 2023, with this being the selection. So I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a deep dive into the county road relocation and how that was determined. We had three separate meetings with the county. One initially was just with the Board of Supervisors as a separate meeting, just to start talking about options that were entertained initially with the FAA. So options one and two were the first two options presented to the county. Option one was bringing the roadway really close to the edge of the runway protection zone here, and then you had to apply the safety standards with county road design and state design, with having this come in at a 90-degree angle with the highway. But the curves became really extensive out into that north property. And the connection point to this existing development down here was a little bit difficult to make. So that option really quickly went away. And we started talking about, well, how can we tighten that up so we have minimal impact to that property owner to the north. And that's how option two came to be. We stayed really tight again to the runway protection zone here, just having the right-of-way of the roadway against that runway protection zone. But then we utilized the existing County Road 38 alignment here to tie back in. And then we came out at a really nice, safe intersection at 90 degrees with County Road 38, and the same up here at Highway 133. So option two was the airport's preference and the city's preference. But during those discussions, the county threw out another option that they would consider, and that was option three, which they would just put a cul-de-sac here at this development, and then a cul-de-sac down here, and not have the airport build this short section in here, because they felt that that was a minimally used section of roadway. But the city and the airport at that time was really concerned about those that are using County Road 35 being required to go all the way around the south end of the airport to get to Highway 133 for their access. So I know that the city, when we had those conversations with the county, we emphasized more pushing towards that county road, option two, because then that would make the county roads whole again. At their August meeting, the Board of Supervisors did adopt a resolution indicating that their preference was with option two if the runway was extended. So that's how that came to be. So then with all that pulled together, FAA making the judgment or the acceptance of alternate number six, and then the county selecting option number two, then the focus started being directed on the land acquisition portion and the appraisal process. What was identified, and I just want to point out, since federal funds are being utilized for this project for the runway extension and the county road relocation, all the property that those funds are being used on has to be owned by the airport. So with the county road relocation, you have to own the ground underneath any grading that we have to do to accommodate that roadway. And you also have to own all the land here within this runway protection zone. So the area between those was then just included in that, because there's going to be some grading in there as well. So that's how that land acquisition boundaries came to be, which is approximately 25 acres of land acquisition and 2 acres of temporary construction easement. And again, this is to accommodate the County Roads 35 and 38 relocation, all the utilities that run along that, the runway protection zone, and then all associated grading and drainage improvements. So we're going to kind of dive in a little bit closer, zooming in to see which properties are actually affected by the land acquisition. So track three, just up here in the little corner here, here's a small piece, actually we've got 131 square feet, that we needed to acquire, or that we need to acquire, and that's just to accommodate the right-of-way, the county road right-of-way. That's not actual roadway, it's just the right-of-way that was needed. And then the temporary construction easement that we have identified here is for the grading of the property owner's driveway to connect directly into the county road. and that is 0.1 acres. Track 4, again, we're just clipping the northeast corner of their property, but in this case, we actually need it for the actual county road alignment. We tried working really hard to avoid this corner and her corner, but we have this line running right up against the runway protection zone. We couldn't have any of the right-of-way within the runway protection zone. The FAA wanted that right on that boundary. So we tried, but we're going to have to acquire 0.06 acres from this property owner, and then we have 0.23 acres of temporary easement. And again, that's just to facilitate drainage and then grading up to their property to make that nice and cleaned up for them. And then track 7 is the bigger component of the land acquisition, and that is 24.74 acres of land acquisition, and then 1.45 acres of temporary construction easement. And again, that's mainly to get that roadway from the existing County Road 38 up to Highway 133. And then just pointing out, once the roadway is fully constructed, all the utilities are in, then that property that the county road is on and the right-of-way will all be deeded back to the county, so then the airport will not own that property. But until those are complete, we can't return, or we can't donate, not donate, deed it over to the county. But that will
so be that released. Whole track 7 will be deeded back to the county?
Nope, just the right-of-way.
Just the right-of-way and the road?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the remaining area will accommodate your RPZ and any drainage improvements that need
to be. Can you farm that?
Yes. Yeah, that will be farmable. And that will really be the only thing that you can do on that property, because you can't build any structures.
Short going.
With that, I invite Jeff to come back up and talk a little bit more about the land acquisition process, unless you have any questions.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
So the land acquisition process comes from the Nebraska Constitution, allows eminent domain or condemnation, which has been given to various political subdivisions, towns, and of course the authority. We have to exercise that first by obtaining an appraisal, which we have done. We are required to undertake good faith negotiations with the landowners. And once those good faith negotiations are done, we implement condemnation proceedings, eminent domain proceedings in the county court of Washington County. That involves a board of appraisers. The board of appraisers is made up of landowners in the county. Two can be appraisers and one's an attorney, or vice versa. They will have a hearing which listens to the authority and the landowners about the property being acquired and its value and any damages that may result to the remaining property. They then enter an award. At that process, they can be represented by an attorney. They can be represented by an attorney during the negotiations. Once the award is entered, the county or the judge enters an award on that too, and the authority has 60 days to deposit the money. If you don't deposit the money, then you forfeit the right to implement condemnation again on that property for 2 years. If the landowner is dissatisfied, or if the authority is dissatisfied with the award, you can appeal to the District Court of Washington County. That is a jury trial. If the landowner appeals and they get an ultimate judgment, which is 15% higher than what the Board of Appraisers awarded, the District Court judge may award them attorney fees and may award them expert fees. So again, they have the right to have their own attorney throughout the whole negotiation process, the county court condemnation process, and the district court process too. And those are the procedures for determining what the cost of the acquisition should be by eminent domain. happy to answer any questions.
Is the Board of Appraisers, is that already set, or is that set later during the process? Is it a board that's already sitting, I guess?
In most communities, it's like a pool, pulled from a pool. Several local attorneys and then several local real estate agents or appraisers from your county that are available for the date we're trying to select will be picked. So I don't think it's just standard three. It's probably a bigger pool than that.
Okay. And then you also mentioned one consideration is damages to the remaining property, which is not necessarily under the condemnation. Is that something that's typically brought up by a landowner? Are they looking for damages on the other part of the land that's not being purchased?
It is typical. So when typically we get a large piece of property like the size of this tablet and you take part of it, landowners may contend, and they got to have appraisers or experts to testify to this, that because of that removal of this piece, this is now diminishing value. It has less value for whatever purposes. They think it's the highest and best use of that property. In this case of the main property here in question, we believe the highest and best use is agricultural, and that the highest and best use afterwards is also agricultural, and that there should be no difference in value or diminished value or severance damages. But that's up to negotiations with the property owner, and then that's up to the Board of Appraisers to determine if there is not such severance damages. And then at the third level, it's be up to the jury to decide that too.
So could the same property owner farm that land?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Is there any, do you foresee any complication with that property already being platted like it is? I believe the city was working with the owner to replat that into different segments, but does that complicate the?
Oh, it will for the property owner will contend that, I'm sure. But although it was platted into whatever 30 different lots a long time ago, it's never been developed. I'm not too sure about public utilities being readily available. As I saw it, there was a road platted through there. None of that has been constructed. So again, it's being farmed, its highest and best use is agricultural. I think the city's position, at least there, of our appraiser, is highest and best use before and after is still as agricultural.
All right. Thank you.
Not any more questions, then it's appropriate to open it up to public comments.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Does anybody have any comments that they would like to present for public and board's opinions? Something that we're here to listen to your wants, your needs. Can't promise you anything other than we're going to listen and see how it comes out. Anybody? There being none, I can close this portion of the public hearing. Are there any other comments for the good of the airport? There being none, I would entertain a motion for
adjournment.
Adjournment, yes. That was the word I was looking for.
I'll make that motion.
Hunt makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Okay, I second it.
Jones second. Please indicate your votes.
Kind of wanted to stay for a while, but Dan was looking at me funny.
All opposed can stay.
Motion carries. Everybody voted aye. Thank you, everybody, for your interest.
What are the odds?